B-Pod Studios.
Pat Sox, Bruins, Celtics, and Revs Audio, all in one convenient location on the podcast page at 98.5thesportshub.com and on the Sports Hub app.
Toucher and Rancher live on Radio Row. Toucher at the GWC, presented by the New England Volkswagen Dealers. Watch the show on Twitch.tv. Just follow the Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich and Troy Brown and Tim Brown are in the Big Y World Class Market guest chairs. This hour is brought to you by Plymouth Rock Assurance. And by the way, we're on Twitch every morning.
Both people here getting to witness firsthand basically the birth of a dynasty.
Right,
because of the Tuck Rule game. Yeah. All right, so being on the other side of it, what was your immediate reaction when this Tuck Rule thing was said?
Well, Teddy Bruschi and I had a conversation in the middle of the field, and we were talking. He said, "You know they're going to overturn this." And I said, "I know they're trying to find a way to overturn it." Yes. And it's still the longest reviewed play in the history it took 12 minutes.
Oh, wow.
For them to, because they called New York. They weren't supposed to do that, but they called New York and got New York involved, and they had to find a guy.
They were just testing it out, for the future.
It was crazy. So, but he reminded me that the call had been made early in the year versus the Rams. It was a Monday night game. Warner dropped back, and they called the Tuck Rule.
Oh, really?
And
I don't know if it's the same crew or not. But I remember watching that game because I thought it was a bogus call then. But I shook his hand and said good luck, because I knew all they needed was a reason.
Yeah.
All they needed was a reason to make this thing happen.
You think that they wanted the Patriots to win that game?
Well, there's no doubt that they didn't want Al Davis to win that game. That's for sure.
You sure about that?
So, but the fact of the matter is this, whatever happened in that game, for them to turn it into what they turned it into, it's unbelievable. It's really unbelievable. I mean, because, look, if Tom Brady loses that game, I don't know if Tom Brady is a quarterback for the Patriots the next year.
You might be right.
I think they bring Bledsoe back and say, this guy lost to a West Coast team in a driving snow. I mean, it must be a problem with this guy. So I think they bring in Bledsoe and let him, so who knows what happens. But the fact that didn't happen, but for Tom to turn this into what he has turned it into, I mean, I think it's an amazing story, and I'm happy and proud for it.
Okay, so Tim, what does Gruden do when it's done? Like, I mean, John Gruden's obviously got to be completely BS.
Oh, after that game?
Yeah.
Well, he says something in the locker room that no one caught, I guess, but me, because I went right up to him. He said, they are never going to allow you guys to win here. And I was like, I went up to him afterwards. After he finished, and I was like, what do you mean by you guys? And 2 days later, he was gone. But what we didn't know was that he had already told Al Davis in November. He gave Al to Thanksgiving to get his contract done. He said, if you don't get it done, I'm going to be out. So I guess he had already made up his mind. He was leaving. And so we didn't know that, but he got traded 2 days later to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Okay, so Mark Davis seems like an interesting fellow. Typical owner. So did you have any? I'm just laughing thinking about him. Did you have any interactions with Mark Davis?
Early in my career, when we were in L.A., yes, he was around all the time. But then he sort of disappeared. And
did he get lost?
You went to circus camp.
Right, yeah. I don't know what happened. I mean, there were some rumors about, he had gotten some trouble or something, but he was never around.
So you never really associated with him like the last few years?
No, I mean, my last 7 years with the Raiders, I probably never even saw it.
Oh, wow.
Oh, really?
I never saw it.
Yeah.
So in L.A., he was on the planes with us. He would go to games. But when we got to Oakland, not so much.
So. Yeah, so I know Al Davis moved the team a few times, mm-hmm. From Oakland to L.A., Oakland or whatever. And so what's your feelings on them moving the team now to Las Vegas?
Well, look, no one wanted to see them move out of Oakland, right? But the fact of the matter is, we got there in 95, man, and they had 22 years to get a stadium built. And they kept pushing it off. And, have you played? When last time you seen the Raiders?
I hadn't been there since like 02.
Right. Yeah. We're 18. We're 17 years later, and we're, and when I went back there for my Hall of Fame deal, I hadn't been back in a couple of years, and nothing had gotten better. They got sheets, like, you know, when you walk down to the stadium, you know, it's nothing painted. You got sheets hanging down. But it's like they never changed the sheets. They were all ratted, you know. It's like, what the world? And then you plan on a baseball diamond for 9 games. You know, so it's, you know, from that standpoint, man, you know.
You understand.
You have to do something better. And for them not to make the effort to do it, I haven't had a conversation with the mayor, you know, 4 or 5 years before this happened. She was like, oh, don't worry, Tim, we're going to get this done. Da, da, da. And nothing ever got done, man. So so you hate to see them move, but this Vegas thing is going to be it's going to be unbelievable, bro.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be a great deal for the Raiders. The L.A. fans are back in play now because they're closer than they were. So I think it's going to be a great thing overall.
Did Gruden piss off the fan base enough that it turns – because, I mean, starting with Khalil Mack, I mean, that was obviously something that immediately people went nuts. And then you saw what Amari Cooper did the second he got to Dallas, just started lighting it up. Like, what do they think of Gruden? Do they believe he has a plan?
Well, you know, you have to look at it from a realistic point of view. And when it comes to Khalil, he wasn't going to come and play. He wanted to be the highest paid guy. The Raiders couldn't make him the highest paid. They offered him the highest paid contract for a defensive player in February. He turned it down because he knew Aaron Donald was coming up. So he wanted to see what Aaron was going to get. Well, by the time Aaron got his deal, it was late July or something like that. So now the Raiders have spent a little money trying to get other players in. So it's like, Khalil, we can't do that right now, but come on in, and we'll take care of you.
Yeah.
He said, no, make me the highest paid, or I'm not coming in. Well, so what are you doing then?
Yeah.
And then you got somebody knocking on the door and say, I got 2 first-round picks for this guy. And you don't know if you can get him in camp, but now you got 2 first-round picks. What do you do? So, you know, I mean, the thing to do now is you got to turn those first-round picks into players.
Do you have any faith that Gruden can do that?
Yeah, absolutely.
John Gruden hadn't coached in, what,
10 years?
10 years. And they give him a 10-year contract.
Mark Davis special.
$100 million.
But think about this. Think about this, Rory. Gruden has had the opportunity over the last 10 years to interview every coach he wanted to interview, every player he wanted to interview. You know, he knows how these guys are thinking. He knows what the coaches are trying to do. So he has, he has it all categorized.
Yeah.
Then why was this year a disaster?
So,
well, because you got to have players.
Even with the players, I mean, you agree with all the decisions he's made so far. The Khalil Mack, the Reggie McKenzie, you know, bringing in Mayock.
I mean, look at when you go back and look at the Raiders roster from 15 to 17, look how many draft picks on the team now. I think it was like 4 guys.
Yeah.
Draft picks. Mm-hmm. So who's going to get the blame for that? That's going to be Reggie. You know what I mean? So I have complete faith in him. Without this guy, I'm not in the Hall of Fame. You know, so when he came to the Raiders, he said he was going to do, I mean, I couldn't catch a ball inside the 20-yard line. The Raiders would not throw me a ball inside the 20. You know, so when he got there, that was the conversation we had. He said, I'm going to throw you a ball. I said, you're not going to throw it. They're going to fire you. You know, Al Davis don't want me catching touchdowns. That's not why I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm here to get the ball down there, but he wants somebody else to do that.
Wait, so Al Davis interfered to that level?
Well, I mean, I went 10 years and never caught a touchdown pass within 20 yards.
So he said,
they called him first down Tim Brown.
First down Timmy. First down Timmy.
So he said, I have a halt.
Not touchdown Timmy. First down Timmy.
Did he ever give you a reason? Did he just say, like?
He didn't want me to become a superstar.
Oh, see, that's crazy.
Why?
Because
you already were in college.
Well, but, you know, if I become a superstar, then I'm Jerry Rice and I got to get paid all this money and all this stuff.
So he was the Heisman Trophy?
I'm not saying it made sense. I'm just saying that's the reason I was given. But so when Gruden got there, I had 44 touchdowns in 10 years or whatever. I had 45 touchdowns with him in 4 years. So that got me in a position to get to 100 touchdowns to possibly get to the Hall of Fame. Yeah. So
why does Mark Davis dress the way he dresses?
He's trying to be like his dad. You know, his dad did that, wore the same outfit every day. He had 100 different sweatsuits, but he had the same sweatsuit.
I don't normally talk about people, you know. I think it's, but that haircut.
He does it for that because he knows you're going to talk about it. I mean, he actually smiles about it every time somebody says something to him because it's just one of those things, man. You know,
from Dumb and Dumber haircut.
Everybody has to have their stick, man, and that's his stick, you know.
It's an unfortunate one.
It is.
You could have gone a lot of directions.
with the fanny pack and the whole white.
So, I will say this about, he had you guys ready to go in that snow game. You guys surprised the heck out of us, man.
Yeah.
No, like, look, guys coming from the West Coast. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
You know, in a driving snow game. But our whole deal was, look, they got to live in this. We only got to be here 3 hours. So let's just get in and get out. But, no, man, I mean, we thought that was a game that we were well prepared for. And, we knew that, you know, the Patriots weren't an explosive football team, so we didn't have to score 40 points. And with the weather being the way it was, we knew it was going to come down to a turnover or something of that nature. Let me tell you guys something else that you probably didn't know. If you go back and look at that kick that Vinatieri made, look at our defensive line.
The first one or the second one?
The first one to get to overtime.
Okay, yeah.
Look at our defensive line. Literally, I was in the huddle with our defensive coach, and he told the guys, there's no way he can make this kick.
So don't even rush.
They
did nothing.
They didn't Well, because
if we get a push on that deal, because thinking. The team, like, I mean, almost because the guy was like, "Duck."
We knew he had to drive the kick.
Right.
You know, he couldn't get much air. He had to drive it just because of the conditions. And they didn't put
nothing. Nobody put a hand up. Nothing.
We were surprised.
Unbelievable.
About that. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
I mean, so, you know, when you think about that kind of stuff, man. Yeah. You know,
what was the reasoning for that?
Because he didn't want to be offside and give a shorter kick.
No, I'm not getting the push.
But not putting the...
They didn't want to get a penalty or something?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. So you're in kind of rarefied air, and that is that you are someone who lost in the playoffs on something wildly controversial.
Sure.
And
sure.
Right now the Saints are going through that.
Yeah.
So what can you give any advice to those players?
No, it's tough. It's tough, man. It really is. I mean, there's no remedy for it. There's no way you're going to feel better about it. Guess what? It's 17 years later, and every time I think about it, it's a punch in the gut. You know what I mean? So it is. I mean, and for them, it's even worse because it's probably the play that kept them out of the Super Bowl.
Without a doubt.
With us, we had to go to Pittsburgh and play another game, so it's not a guarantee that we would have gone there and won that game like the Patriots did. So, so it's a little different. But for them, that play literally kept them out of the Super Bowl. So it's going to be tougher for them, man. It's like Alshon dropping the pass.
Yeah.
Those are things, unfortunately, you remember for the rest of your life. If you're going to lose the Super Bowl, lose it like we lost it. You know, just lose it the first quarter. Just have a good time for the next three quarters. But, hey, look at the people up in the stands up there. Oh, man, this is awesome.
All right, so we have Troy on every week, and he talks about how practices are run now and how players are protected.
Oh, God.
When you look at things now compared to when you play, does it frustrate you?
Does it make you angry?
It frustrates you.
You know, but the fact that they are lining up for them big paychecks on Monday may frustrate me,
right.
But
without practicing.
But you know, it is what it is, man. You know, I mean, it's all because of the birth date. It has nothing to do with, you know, the talent level per se that they're making all that money. But at the same time, you know, I think that, you know, there's not enough respect sometimes, I think, that's given to the game.
Yeah.
And I think these guys could you know, work a little harder at their craft and just show a lot more respect to the game. I'm not saying every player, but, you know, sometimes you get that feeling that he didn't really care about that. It wasn't a big deal whether or not he caught that ball or whether or not, you know, you see DBs, man, hitting, you know, with, you know, like reaching out. Yeah. It's like, that would have never happened back in the day.
Sure.
I mean, you out the game.
Yeah.
You get talked about, you know.
Yeah.
But nowadays, because everybody's so afraid of these head injuries, man, you see so many guys hitting like this without
Head injuries and fines that are getting, you know, $20,000 hits that some of these things cost these players. So, but yeah, it's a different game. You know, Tim will tell you. I mean, they called a slant, you know, from the slot, and you want you to go and run across the face of, you know, Ken Norton or somebody. You thought twice about it. You sure you want to call that right now?
Because it wasn't that you may get the ball. The fact of the matter is he was going to hit you no matter what.
Because
you crossing his face and he had a chance to, you know, put a shot on you, he was going to probably do that.
Yeah.
And that's what you would call to do, to open up for the back guy, the outside guy.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know. So, you know, I'm going with that brother, trying to shake him down a little bit instead of maybe I can occupy him that way. But nowadays, man, you would have
just
no.
You just went over the middle, man. And
that was just.
Taking your life in your own hands.
Yeah. So you talk about Teddy Bruschi earlier, and you guys talking. People look back at that defense and think, you know, they say great things about how tough were they?
They were super tough, man. You know, I mean, you had guys who were solid at every position, and then you had some guys who you knew, you know, you had Ty Law out there you had to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had some guys that you had to deal with. You know, I mean, at that particular point, though, we were so locked into what we were doing that we felt it didn't matter. I was just talking to Hugh Douglas, and that same year we had gone to Pittsburgh. I mean, gone to Philadelphia, and no one thought we could go and beat that young, you know, Sprout defense, and we went up there and killed those guys because we just felt as if our system was so great that if everybody did what they were supposed to do, somebody was going to be open. It wasn't going to be me all the time. It wasn't going to be Jerry all the time or James Jett, you know. But somebody was going to be open. Garner, somebody was going to pop open. So, and from that standpoint, I think, you know, because we had that mentality going into every game at that particular point, it didn't really matter who we played. It was all about, you know, getting the ball out, doing those things we were supposed to do, and we were going to be good.
You know? Did Gruden ever give you a nickname?
No.
That's his
thing.
Well,
he called me Captain. Captain.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I was captain. Everybody called me. They still call me captain now. When he texts me, Captain.
Hey, Captain. Captain. You read his text in his voice. What's up, Captain?
What's up, Captain?
All right, Tim Brown. You have a brand H2H. Tell us about it.
Yeah. You know, when I went into the Hall of Fame, we realized there were only 8 guys to go Heisman to Hall of Fame, and we thought that was. I didn't realize that. You know, going into the Hall of Fame. And, you know, we've sort of gotten together and said, hey, look, you know, let's see if we can do something with this. Let's brand it. Let's, you know, let's see if we can go out and leave a legacy in a different way. We've done what we could do on the football field, but now let's see if we can get together and do something philanthropic. Let's see if we can make some good out of this and really give back to the community, man. So the guys, you know, we're looking forward to this. It's going to be a minute before we get everything launched, but we're throwing it out right now, see what people think. But at the same time, you know, this is a group of guys who feel as if, you know, we've done incredible things on the football field, but let's see if what kind of legacy we can leave off the football field. So, and then we have another group of College Football Hall of Famers to Hall of Fame, which is less than 30 guys in that group, too. So I think between the two, you know, we're just trying to, you know, throw all the brands together, you know, and sometimes that can be tough. But I think in this particular situation, because of the reason why we're doing this, everybody's looking forward to working together and really seeing what good we can do in the country.
All right. Good. Sounds good. Yeah. Tim Brown and Troy Brown sitting down together.
You know, Troy did something I always wanted to do.
What's that?
Play DB.
Yeah.
Dude, I mean, I played in high school.
Right.
But I always, you know, felt like, man, I could shut that brother down. You know, I could shut this brother down. I never got, you know, of course, they weren't going to let me go out there. But
he didn't want you to score a touchdown. So, I mean, that would add to your score.
Wait, but that was kind of a backhanded thing.
So you said you could have shut him down.
No, not him. No. I'm talking about, talking about Andre Rison. You know, I was talking about the big guys.
He goes, they wouldn't let me do that.
That was too important to play.
Hey, man.
Troy was.
I was just a cast off.
Yeah.
You'd be all right without
him. I wonder how many Super Bowls they would have won without you. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. All right. Tim Brown, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Tim. We'll be right back from Radio Row.
Dutcher and Rich are live on Radio Row at the Georgia World Congress Center. Presented by the New England Volkswagen Dealer. Watch the show on Twitch.tv. Just follow the Sports Hub. Dutcher and Rich on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We're still here!
Our job in Kansas City. Now we face the Rams in the Super Bowl, and we'll never lose 1 minute of sleeping, worrying about the bad things haters say. Pats fans keep on grinning, Tom Brady keeps on winning, 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 winning in Atlanta.
Okay, so are we up now, Dan?
Yeah, we're up.
Okay, good.
I'm not really impressed that you're interrupting this, but go ahead.
Oh, you want to let it roll? Let's do it.
All the haters thought the dynasty was over, but we still have faith in your Belichick.
So as you know, this is Mike behind the Mike Callahan, who sent us, for the first time in a year, we had not heard anything from him, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, we get this amazing...
Winning.
Winning.
Winning in Atlanta.
So we debuted that yesterday. We had not heard from him in a year. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I get an email of someone saying, hey, Mike behind the mic might have started this thing, but we finished it. This is from somebody named CRD and the KOB Pump Up Pats fans.
I've heard of them.
Have you really?
No.
As a reaction to Mike behind the mic.
I see.
Let it roll.
Oh, Mike behind the mic Callahan. We love you, but we got to bring the heat if we're going to pump up Pat's Nation. You know, they never do anything nice and easy. Hey, KOB, drop those vocals.
Winning, winning, winning in Atlanta.
Well, someone owes Mike behind the mic Callahan some money.
I mean, come on, man. That was awesome.
Awesome.
That was great.
Yeah.
Okay, that is just fantastic. I mean, first of all, for someone just to cover a Mike behind the mic Callahan song in the first place is great.
I mean, royalties are deserved and warranted.
And then to launch into, of course, a Sarge Sucks chorus and end it with a Matt Slater. So that is CRD and the KOB Pump Up Pats fans.
That's great.
That's great. And Matt Slater closing it out was a nice little added touch. So.
All right. Well, I just hope that Mike behind the mic sues for royalties. We will be back. We're supposed to be joined with James by James Loft. And here are the headlines.
Watch the show on Twitch.tv. Just follow the Sports Hub 85, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. This hour of our show is brought to you by Plymouth Rock Assurance. And we are on Twitch every day. And you can visit Twitch.tv and search the Sports Hub to watch a show live. Or you can get the Twitch app. I just realized that I'm wearing the shirt that I wore last night and that I have pizza all over it. So that can kind of tell you how the evening was going.
Well, we dressed up for our guests this morning.
Yeah. I realized, it's a good night when you had to check Lyft to figure out when you went home.
Well,
but it was like 8.
Oh, really?
Okay.
It's like, it's earlier than...
I think I left at 8, and then I left at 8. All right.
Real quick, I just do want to plug. We have in 20 minutes, Danny Ainge is going to do... If it's not his first, it's one of his first interviews since the Anthony Davis news broke.
I haven't heard it.
You
can hedge your bets, but I think we have him first.
Okay, so once again, 9 o'clock, 20 minutes from now, he'll come on with us. And this is all on the heels of not only the Anthony Davis news, but all the whispers about Kyrie Irving not being happy and not being 100% sold on being here after saying that. So that is something I am looking forward to.
All right, did you hear this story in Pittsburgh?
Yeah. It's great.
It's so ridiculous.
It's the stupidest thing ever, and this is just another story about overly sensitive people freaking out about everything.
And listen, we're in an age where people are, I mean, a slip of the tongue can cost you your job. This is ridiculous. This offends no one. This is funny, and this is what happened. So this 27-year-old kid is a producer on a Pittsburgh news channel.
Yes.
So he put. They were showing Tom Brady like at the rally or whatever the hell it was, and he put up a thing that says Tom Brady, and underneath it says known cheater. So he thinks, hey, people get a chuckle.
Yeah, it's Pittsburgh. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, this isn't a national thing. Steelers fans hate Brady. Everyone would think
it's not libelous.
No.
So they fire him. They fire him
under pressure from whom?
Under pressure, it seems, from no one.
Because what happened is apparently he left work that day. I think it was Deadspin reached out to him and did an interview with him.
Yeah.
And they said, like, he still couldn't believe it. He said, I'm a producer. I write the news. I decide the order, choose what graphics show up. He says, so for the 4 o'clock news, the kicker is usually something soft and sweet. We get these packages that come down for corporate. And it was just like, hey, here's two teams in the Super Bowl. Pretty boring. So I wrote the intro about the 6 rings and then changed it up. I mean, it's Pittsburgh. We hate the Patriots. We hate Tom Brady. So it was a little wink for the fans. And then I kept going on with my day. After the news, I left at 5. At 5:05, my boss calls me in. And she was like, you need to be here now. And she said, what were you thinking? It's all over social media. People screenshot it.
Yeah, good.
Why did you do that?
How about that's good for you?
Yeah, and he said, so I explained to Flakegate and stuff, basically said that everyone here hates, you know, the Patriots. And she goes, well, we can't have that. So anyways, on Monday, they said they were going to write me up and said it would be on my record. So I'm like, okay, cool. Tuesday, I went to the morning meeting as usual. After the noon news, as soon as it was over, no one was talking to me. So I realized something was wrong, but I thought maybe there was an 8% chance I'd get fired. They said at 3 p.m. we're going to have a meeting. Then at 4:30, they actually sat me down. My manager takes me to the office and said that there had been an investigation. She said, quote, because you did that deliberately, you no longer work at KDKA. Today is your last day. So I said, okay, and I left. So I went home and hung out with my friends. They have since set up a GoFundMe for me, which apparently is raising a lot of money.
But it's going to a charity of Tom Brady's choice. First of all, I hate GoFundMe. And second of all,
because you never know if it's legit.
Right. Yeah. And second of all, why should he have to give Brady anything?
Well, what's funny is that it said what the reaction's been like. He said so many places picked it up. He said, but mostly it's been positive. Because a Boston station was playful with us. They asked for comment. They asked if we'll be airing the Super Bowl since the Steelers hadn't been there in a decade. Ha, ha, ha. The only thing I'm worried about is that I just bought a house. So this dude's like really freaking out because he put something out there that was kind of a wink to the fans, you know. Although I did find it funny is that people were taking screenshots of the news for they said, hey, they aired this earlier, and it was Ben Roethlisberger, and underneath it said, known rapist.
Oh, Jesus.
So people, like, Pats fans were, like, you know, tweeting this guy back.
That might indeed be liable.
Yeah, well, that's a different direction.
That part of it, of course, but that was, like, kind of the reaction. But,
see, that could get you in some hot water.
Yes. This poor guy just trying to have some fun. And you know, like with the, like, do you think that Tom Brady's people like called them and it's like, how dare you do that?
No.
Like, what kind of heat were they getting where they had to fire this kid?
First of all, I'm not giving this guy anything. I mean, he got fired.
Right.
I mean, it sucks, but I'm not going to go give him my money. But I just think it's odd that he claims that he's going to take the money and give it to Tom Brady's charity.
No.
Why? Like, why? Like, he didn't do anything to the guy.
Well, this is weird on so many different levels.
Deadspin asked him, he goes, hey, do you have a Super Bowl prediction? He goes, I'm going to bet on Tom Brady without a doubt. He goes, I love Tom Brady. I think he's the best. It was supposed to be a little wink to all the Steelers fans, but apparently it went too far. He said, the casino down the street has a job fair on Saturday, so I'm going to be there. And I'm going to place a bet on the Patriots because we're connected forever now.
Somewhere, some people in Everett are like, not so fast.
And you wait till the monolith opens.
Wait till the monolith opens.
Damn it. I'm completely changing gears. I meant to tell Troy about this. His favorite place is shutting down. Toby Keith's I Love This Bar, yeah. They announced yesterday.
Out of nowhere.
After, of course, Troy and Bert Breer Ninkovich were doing all their broadcasts from there with the dude who had the gigantic flying Elvis on his chest and was showing the world.
Oh, by the way, I got, like, to Instagram stuff and, like, emails daring to make fun of that guy for having a Patriots tattoo. And they're like, you have a logo of a band. The man's entire torso is a Patriots logo.
It's huge. And I don't care if it's like your favorite team or whatever like that. Having something that big. And by the way, Troy Brown said it was weird.
Of course it's weird. He's an ex-football player. He wanted to keep his distance from the guy. Weird.
Can you imagine you get home with a girl and she takes your shirt off and there's effing flying Elvis all over your torso with colors and everything? I think that might scare some ladies off.
I think what actually made it even better and weirder is that I don't think he had any other tattoos like on his like chest. Like it was just right there in the middle, taking up the entire thing. There was the flying Elvis. But yeah, so Toby Keith is gone and done.
Do we have a reason for this yet?
It says Omers are blaming on greed. This is from the Boston Magazine.
Toby, don't play greed.
Greed?
Yep, they said they shut it down yesterday. Quotas with our deepest regret that Toby Keith's doors remain closed. To our many regular guests, we are grateful of their support that you've given us over the past 8 years. From our staff and management, we thank you again. And as always, proceed to party.
That's right. That was on the piece of paper that they posted on the door. Proceed to party. That was the end.
Well, listen. After all, Toby Keith's done for America.
Yeah.
Well, they have according to the article, and I remember reading this. It said Foxborough's Toby Keith had an unfortunate record. A 2016 study found that more people arrested for drunk driving in Massachusetts reported having their last drink at the bar than any other venue in the state.
Oh, that's not good.
That's not good at all. That breakdown was pretty wild. But yeah. People just unfortunately, you know, the charm of Toby Keith, he's got to come out with like some hits. People don't want their freedom fries anymore.
Yeah.
Maybe just we've gotten a little
less
patriotic.
Were they called freedom fries there?
You bet your ass there are. I guarantee you, if I pulled up Toby Keith's I Love This Bar
we'll
menu.
We'll put a boot in your ass.
Boot in your ass nachos.
If you're watching on Twitch, you can see me desperately trying to get pizza off from my shirt.
It's below the table. No one can see it. You're fine.
Yeah, but I'm walking around like a hotshot, and I got an image to maintain.
I understand.
All right, so let's see. The menu, we've got for dinner.
We'll put a
It's the American way. Okay, so let's see the side. I'm trying to see if anyone have, like, cool names.
University favorites. That pretty much, university favorites. Is that to scare people off?
Must have a degree to enter. No, it doesn't. The menu's stupid. So,
all right.
It's not as funny as it would be. So, once again, Danny Ainge, 13 minutes. We're supposed to have.
It's not happening.
Okay.
It's not. And I'm glad that it's not happening.
Okay.
All right. Pats fans in Atlanta, if you're coming down or if you're already here, join us Saturday afternoon. The Sports Hub Super Saturday Party is at Hudson Grill in Midtown, 942 Peachtree Street. Hardy and Jim Murray will be live from 2 to 6. Felger Madzo, Beatle, Bob Soucy, and special guest appearances. Getting you ready for the big game Saturday, 2 to 6 at Hudson Grill, Midtown Atlanta location. Presented by Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Patriots. It's the Sports Hub Super Saturday Party. So we are looking for that. And also remember that Pucks and Paddles is coming up. It's the second annual ping pong tournament to benefit the Floating Hospital for Children at Tufts Medical Center and the Boston Bruins Foundation. It is a week from today at the Royale. Boston, bid to play doubles ping pong against your favorite Bruins player. We'll be playing with people. Wallet, Bertrand, Zolak. Bidding ends Friday at 8.
Oh, freedom fries on the menu.
Oh,
did I nail it or did I nail it?
Well, listen,
very well done.
They have freedom fries. Why are we mad at the French again? VIP tickets are sold out.
Back.
Was there something that France did that pissed off a bunch of hicks?
That was like 15 years ago?
I don't remember what it was.
VIP tickets are sold out. Get your general admission tickets for just $50. It's worth it. The players are out on the floor. They're not up on a stage. You can see them up close. And apparently, our good friend Jake DeBrusk is the lady's choice because he's got a very high bid. And you can bid on the people to play with us. That gets you into the VIP signing, and it gets you over, like, the velvet rope into the whole big situation. Mm-hmm. All the information is up at 985thesportstub.com, and you can buy tickets and bid on players. We will have Danny Ainge on in 10 minutes.
Runs it left into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots. The left side for Dorsett, and he makes the catch in the end zone.
And give to Burkett. Runs it left for the win. Touchdown, Patriots. And they're bowling.
Every score from Super Bowl 53 will be heard here. The only place for the local call of the game. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Toucher and Rich are live on Radio Row at the Georgia World Congress Center. Presented by the New England Volkswagen Dealer. Watch the show on Twitch.tv. Just follow the Sports Hub.
Tatum Brown shovels back to Tatum very smoothly. Steps into a three, no good. Back tap of the offensive rebound by Tice. Rozier. Wow! For Tatum, who flies through the air and with one hand grabs it and throws it down hard.
I thought that was out of bounds. Ooh. Son.
Every time I look at the trash can nachos at Guy Fieri's, I think it's out of bounds. To be honest with you. Trash can nachos.
Oh, yeah. He just, like, jams a bunch of crap in, like a tin, and then they pour it upside down, and it just is shaped like the trash. How does that make it more appealing?
Because it's super cool. Because you just like, hey, who hasn't fantasized about eating out of the trash? Hey, you promised me.
Money.
You promised me trash can nachos. It's not even a dead rat.
How many emails have you gotten with that ad for the Eddie Money Show coming to Massachusetts? It's like, I mean, apparently whoever is throwing that concert sponsored it on Facebook. Like, they paid money to hit a bunch of people's feeds, because I might have gotten it like 50 times from listeners.
Yeah, I mean, I think the money man has been
we've had him on. It was weird,
and I think it's a good time to stop. Because when he was like, you know, my daughter, she's, you know, getting kind of fat, she's on drugs.
That was really strange.
Yeah,
it was definitely odd. But we're gonna have Danny Ainge on here in just about 4 to 5 minutes, and I believe this might be the first interview that's come out since all the chaos happened involving not only Anthony Davis, but also subsequently Kyrie Irving, and the stories that are apparently surfacing that he might not be as attached to the Boston Celtics as we previously thought.
Steve Bulpet of the Boston Herald wrote a very expansive article about just that thing, and he posted it last night, but I believe it's in the Herald this morning. He agrees with Jackie McMullen. He's done some digging, and his sources are telling him that nothing has changed for Irving. He's still committed to being here, and when he asked that source, well, what about this other story that, you know, he might want to leave, the source laughed at him and said, well, people continue to push their own agendas. So at least Steve Bulpet, who's been covering the Celtics a real long time for the Herald, sides with Jackie McMullen in that, you know, Irving is in the same place he was at the beginning of the season. He remains committed for now. I mean, short of something extraordinary happening between now and the end of the season, he still fully intends on following through on his promise.
Okay, well, I mean, that's, once again, all well and good, but as a fan of the Celtics, that doesn't help you sleep at night. The man is still not signed a contract.
And he's really, really out there.
And he's a strange dude.
Which you have to factor in.
Fred, I saw a video that somebody dug up yesterday of, I mean, because, you know, at the beginning of the season, he comes out at that, like, fan thing that they did at the TD Garden and goes, hey, I intend on staying here and signing an extension at the end of the year, and the place goes nuts, and he's said it in several interviews. But somebody found a video of Kyrie Irving just months before he ended up kind of getting the hell out of Cleveland, telling a bunch of people that he was going to stay in Cleveland for years to come.
He doesn't. He has no idea what he's doing or what's going on.
Things change. I mean, okay, does he have the same feeling if they end up going to the Eastern Conference Finals and losing and putting on a good fight or getting to the finals than he does that if they go to the first round and get bounced? And there's chemistry issues. I mean, no, everything can change, and it's all up in the air. But
it's just kind of odd, though, that he put himself so far out on that limb, you know, with the commercial with his father and how he wants number 11 retired. I mean, he really doubled down on that after originally saying, what was it, October, he wanted to stay?
It's because more than anything, Kyrie wants to be the leader of this team. And that was a message that he was throwing. He thought that that's what a leader does. You put the, you know, your toes in the sand. You say, there's no mixed messages here. I love the Celtics. I'm going to be here. And you hopefully that would rally the troops behind you. But things can get weird. They can always get weird. This season's been weird. But it doesn't mean that this can't all get ironed out before the end of the season.
Oh, we'll see about that. I can tell you that much. When Bob Sosa's here, you know you're
it's big time.
You're entering the big time.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we are at the Radio Row over here at the Georgia World Congress Center in anticipation for the Super Bowl. Hopefully we'll be joined by Danny Ainge momentarily. Before that, no commercials here, just the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.